Please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. Page 88 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll begin with the 26th verse and read through the end of the chapter. Exodus 14, verses 26 through 31. The text verse is the 30th verse. And please, for the reading of the Word of God, and we'll read the verses responsibly. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the seas returned to the strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And let's pray. And Father, we sure thank you that you've given us this evening. Thank you for these folks who have come out to the services. We pray for your help now in the service, especially in the preaching. Thank you so much for the enjoyment that we find here, the blessing, the help. And now, of course, we need to give our attention to the preaching if we are to be helped as you'd want us to be helped. Help it to be so, and bless with thy power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, the story is not a new one. It's an old, old story. It's true. About the Passover, the Lord delivering his people from the bondage of Egypt through the death of the Passover lamb for each household. Death angel passing over during the night of the first month of the 14th day of the 14th day of the month, corresponding to our April 14th. And when he found the blood of the proper lamb applied on the doorpost and the lintels of the house, he did not take the firstborn in death, where the blood was not applied. He did take the firstborn. And through this awful plague, he was Pharaoh let finally, after this is the tenth, being the tenth plague, finally let the Israelites go. However, when they left, Pharaoh changed his mind, decided to chase them. And so he did. Pursued them all the way to the Red Sea. Now we have God's people with Pharaoh from the rear and the Red Sea before them. What will they do? God told them to go forward. That's what God always tells us to do. Go forward. And Moses took the rod, smote the Red Sea. An east wind came and dried up the ground over which they marched. All kinds of people have said, well, that was a little, they had a drought, and no, Bible says they went over on dry ground. You talk about a miracle. I mean, he just parted the waters. Bible says it stood like a wall, and he dried the ground so they wouldn't even get their feet muddy as they walked over. And they walked over. And after they'd gotten on the other side, the Egyptian armies decided they'd take the same sidewalk through the Red Sea, and God decided they wouldn't make it. He decided to break the walls down, and they were drowned. Now, this little scripture, says, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. To me, it's very interesting. Which shore? On the farther shore, of course. That's where the Israelites saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians. God allowed the water to go toward the opposite side And so that the Israelites could see the dead Egyptians on the shore. Now, the Red Sea would have made it impossible for the Israelites to have seen the Egyptians that were on the other shore. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that this simple story of how God let them see the enemy defeated on the other side of the Red Sea and on the farther shore. They didn't fight or try to fight the Egyptian armies on the other shore of the Red Sea. They just kept on going until they got across the Red Sea and got off of Pharaoh's home court. They didn't fight him on his home court. I want to call your attention three or four things tonight about this story. I want you to follow me very carefully because I think we have a truth here worthy of our investigation tonight. First thing I want to say is this. They did not fight their enemy on his own court. They went to the place where the enemy could not come. Are you listening to me now? Are you listening to me? Everybody, listen. Look out this way. It's not talking time. It's listening time. Everybody, I got something to tell you. If you don't want to listen to it, go on home. But I got something to tell you, and I worked hard and prayed hard to give it to you, and I want you to hear it. You need to hear what I've got to say tonight. I'm saying that the way they defeated the enemy was going where he couldn't come. They didn't stop and fight him. They kept on going forward. They came to a place where he could not come. The enemy couldn't come on the other side. God saw to that. Only place they could be safe. Look, this untrained mob of Israelites had no chance against the armies of Egypt. Egypt was a mighty power, a mighty nation, a mighty empire, a mighty kingdom. These little untrained, poor, brick-making Jews had no chance at all. Only chance they had, there's no way they could win in combat with their enemy. They had to get somewhere where the enemy couldn't come, that's all. And so they kept on going forward, and they went across to the other side, out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's own land, where the Egyptian armies could not come. Now I want to say this tonight. Don't you stop to fight your enemy. You can't lick him. You run where he cannot come. You run to the land of love, and hatred will die before it gets there. You run to the land of forgiveness, and vengeance will die before it gets there. You run to the land of purity, and lust will die before it gets there. You run to the land of generosity, and lust will die before it gets there, and selfishness will die before it gets there. You run to the land of the spirit-filled life, and the flesh will die before it gets there. You run to the land of the prayer closet, and doubt will die before it gets there. You run to the land of the book, and error will die before it gets there. I want to say this tonight. You're not going to defeat the devil. You're not going to do it. You're not going to defeat your sin. You can look your cigarette right in the eye and say, I'll lick you, but you won't lick it. You look your hatred right in the eye and say, I'll never hate again, and you won't lick it. You look your critical nature right in the eye and say, I'm never going to criticize again, and you won't lick it. You've got to keep on going forward. Oh, see, God said, follow me. He said, you follow the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and you follow me. And they followed God, and they obeyed the Word of God. That's the answer to all of it. Obey the Word of God. They obeyed the Word of God. And God said, just keep on going. Don't you turn back to fight them. You can't lick them. You can't match them. They've got more power than you. And I want to say this. You can't fight the devil by yourself either. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But, brother, it's through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, you see. You can't defeat the devil. All you can do is obey the Word of God. And the Word of God said to the Israelites, you just keep on going. And they just kept on going. They didn't stop on the other side and say, are we going to fight these folks? The Red Sea's in front of us. We better fight these folks. They wouldn't have one single chance. But the chance was to go and follow. Go where they couldn't go. You know, if a cat's chasing a bird, tell a bird to fly away. Cat can't get where he is. Be silly for a bird to come down and fight a cat. Cat says, I'm after you. And the bird says, okay, I'll fight you. Well, no, all the bird's got to do is take off and soar to the sky. And I got news for you. Cat can't fly. It's amazing what you learn here. It's just amazing. But the honest, simple truth is, It's foolish for a child of God who can soar to the sky to stay down here and fight when he can soar to the sky. You've got to get to the land where the enemy can't come. And God said, take off through the Red Sea. I'll part the waters. God parted the waters for them. And they went over on dry ground. They got over on dry ground. God said, your enemy can't get over there. So I'm simply saying they had enough sense not to give the devil the home court advantage. They didn't fight over in the devil's land. They fought over across the Red Sea in the place that God had provided for them. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've got some little Egyptian, I don't know what your Egyptian is. I don't know what it is. It may be hatred. Your Egyptian may be lust. Your Egyptian may be envy. Your Egyptian may be dirty magazines. Your Egyptian may be, I started to say, X-rated movies. I include R-rated and GP and all the rest of them in that. A movie's a movie. I don't care where it is. And Hollywood's Hollywood. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in the movie house or in your living room. It's still of the devil and still wrong. It's time God's people cleaned up their act and decided to watch that which is decent and right. I don't know what. I don't know what your little Egyptian is that's following you, but you're not going to lick him if you stay over there on his side. You've got to go where he cannot go. And bless God, in this book, he can't get to you. And in God's will, he can't get to you. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he can't get to you. And in love, hatred can't get to you. And in unselfishness, greed can't get to you. You've got to go where he can't get. And he can't defeat you if he can't get there. And there's a place where you can go where the sin cannot go and the devil cannot go. You better get there in a hurry. Let God take care of the victory. Now, that's the first thing I want to say. Thing number two. Not only don't fight him on his own court, but don't fight him with his own weapons. Let's suppose the Israelites had said, we're going to fight these Egyptians with the same weapons they have. They didn't have enough. There's no way they could match the weapons of the mighty army of Egypt. There's no way they could match the weapons of the arsenal of the Egyptian army and the mighty Egyptian empire. There's no way. These Israelites were wise. They'd stop. Okay, let's get our little weapons. Let's get our slingshot and let's fight these guys with their swords and spears and their horses and chariots. No, there's no way. They couldn't do it. And there's no way that you are going to win your battle using the same methods in the battle that the devil uses. Let me say what I'm saying. You don't fight hatred with hatred. You see, here's somebody. Now I'm talking about when you're in the right. You are in the right, and somebody attacks you with hatred. Ladies and gentlemen, it is just as wrong for right to hate as it is for wrong to hate. And for you to hate somebody back because they've wronged you, puts you in the same category with them because you are using the devil's method to fight the battle for right. Let's take the matter of anger. Somebody does you wrong. And they're angry with you, and they shouldn't be, and you're right and they're wrong. So you get angry back. You're using the devil's method to fight the spiritual warfare, and you're not going to do that. You have no more right to hate a fellow who's wrong. He has right to hate you. See, hatred for sin is good. Hatred for individuals is wrong. It's the devil's method. But I know Christian people who are right and who have been wronged, and yet somebody hates them. And so the child of God, he gets mad, he hates him back. You use the devil's weapon. And you are never going to win the battle against the devil using his weapons. You're not going to do it. You take the matter of gossip. Somebody gossips about you. So you say, and by the way, they're wrong. The stuff they're spreading is wrong. And you're right. So what do? You go around telling bad things about them. I'm talking about when you are right. And if the things you say bad about them are true, it's still not right for you to do. You're taking the same weapon that the devil's crowd uses, and you're saying, I'll fight the devil with the devil's weapons. Folks, listen, if somebody hates you, God's weapon against that is love.
If somebody has wronged you, God's weapon against that is forgiveness. If somebody's trying to, spitefully uses you, God's weapon against that is praying for them. That's God's weapon. Love those that hate you, bless those that curse you, do good to those that do evil to you, and pray for those that despitefully use you. That's God's method. Why in the name of common sense do you want to stoop to you borrow the weapons of the devil to fight for good? Don't fight the devil with the devil's weapon. You can't lick him. Let's take the matter of criticism. Somebody criticizes you. And I never have understood this. I don't understand this. Our whole society, in the churches, in Christian schools, is getting where it's based on criticism. And there seems to be a certain kind of a exaltation of your own stature if you can criticize somebody. Let me tell you something, brother. If there's a God in heaven that loves us, don't you think that'd be better to say than criticizing somebody? I mean, if there's a salvation where a man can be saved from hell and go to heaven and live forever, and there's a God of mercy and goodness and kindness, why don't you spend your time talking about Him and the goodness of God and the love of God? But here's what happens. Somebody criticizes you, and that's wrong. Criticism is always wrong. But what you do is this. You say, now, by the way, you're right, and they're wrong. But you join them in their wrong by going to their arsenal and using their weapon of criticism. You criticize them, so they criticize you. You criticize them. They're fighting for wrong. You're fighting for right, but both of you using the devil's weapons. Israelites couldn't have done that. You can't either. You make yourself a party in wrong when you use the weapons of the devil to fight for good. Let's take the matter. By the way, the innocent becomes wrong by criticizing the guilty. Did you hear that? The innocent becomes wrong by criticizing the guilty. You're not gonna fight the battle against evil by using the same dirty methods the devil's crowd uses? Boy, I wish I could get this through to you. I wish I could get through to you folks tonight who've been attacked by the vicious, venomous tongue of other people. I wish I could get through to you that you're not supposed to fight back. That's what the devil does. And that's what he wants you to do. Because in getting you to fight back, he's got you to using his weapons and he's got you working on his side. And so when these Israelites crossed over the Red Sea, they did nothing till they got where the Egyptians couldn't come. They didn't fight over on the other side. They'd lost the battle. But there was a place, bless God, where the Egyptians could not come. And the Israelites got to that place. They won the victory because they kept going forward. And the way for you to win the victory is just keep on doing God's will. When the Jews came to the Promised Land from Egypt, on their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, they got the Promised Land. They had to come through some heathen countries, such as Edom, Moab, other heathen countries. Now, they had to go through them. So God told Moses, now, Moses, you go to the king of Moab, and the king of Edom, and other countries, and you ask them if you can march through their land. Now, he said, you tell them that you want to march through on the highway, through the land. All these lands had one big highway, went through the land. And God said to Moses, you tell the Israelites that you want to borrow that highway. You'll not turn to the left. You'll not turn to the right. You'll stay on that highway. You're marching to Zion. And you keep on going forward. He said, don't you stop to meddle with them. When they throw at you, don't you throw back. When they criticize you, don't you criticize back. When they slander you, don't you slander back. When they fight you, don't you fight back. You just keep on going to Canaan. I've not sent you through Moab to get back at the Moabites, and they're going to curse you, and they're going to fight you, and they're going to throw stones at you. But God said, don't pick up the stone and throw it back, then you behave like the Moabites. And I'll guarantee you this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll get to this after a while, but your biggest enemy is not your enemy. Your biggest enemy is how you retaliate to your enemy. Now, I'm saying, don't give the devil home court advantage. Don't you stop to fight him. Fighting him is doing God's will. Fighting him is obeying the book. The battle is the Lord's. Battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. I'll tell you what, preacher. So-and-so said so-and-so about me, and so-and-so did something to me, and I'll get it. No, that's not your business. What you're doing is you're stooping to his level and you're using his weapons. Now, you just stacked the devil's weapons. You've got a better weapon the devil ever had. And you just substitute love for his hate. And you substitute forgiveness for his vengeance. And you substitute kindness for his unkindness. And you substitute grace for his attack. And you substitute mercy for his selfishness. And you substitute God's book and God's will. Stay on the highway. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Our job's not fighting each other. Our job's fighting the devil. And the way you fight the devil is keep obeying the Word. Keep in the will of God. Keep on going forward. Now, I love boxing. It's wrong. I love it. Nobody's perfect. And it is sort of stupid for guys to beat each other's brains out. In fact, I don't think they do. A guy do that hadn't gotten your brains in. But many, many a boxer. Okay? Does the name Billy Kahn mean anything to you? Billy Kahn. Billy Kahn once fought Joe Louis. Follow me now. Joe Louis, unless Muhammad Ali is the greatest fighter that ever lived, Joe Louis is. Don't like his color, but sorry about that, Stan. But I can remember at our house, we used to have a radio, but it had earphones on it. And every time Joe Louis would fight, we'd listen to it. Daddy would listen to round one. Earlene would get round two. All of us couldn't listen at the same time. Had to put earphones on. And I got round three. Well, in Joe Louis's fights, there never was a round three. Dad either knocked him out in the first round or Earlene knocked him out in round two. And I hated them both. I'm not talking about Joe Louis and Billy Kahn, Earlene and Dad. But finally, Joe Louis met his match. Billy Kahn was a boxer. He was a classic boxer. He wasn't a slugger. You try to slug it out with Joe Louis, and you'd go down round one. That's Daddy's round. But Billy Kahn was smart. Billy Kahn had good footwork, and he knew how to jab, and he was a boxer. So they fought 15-round fight, and Billy Kahn was ahead. And long about the 13th round, Billy Kahn decided, I got old Joe worried. I'm going to go for the knockout. He did. He got knocked out. Now, why? Because he decided to use Joe Louis methods. He decided to use Joe Louis tactics. Billy Kahn could have defeated Joe Louis if Billy Kahn had kept on using Billy Kahn's tactics and not Joe Louis' tactics. Now, you can defeat your enemy if you'll quit borrowing his own tactics. You're not going to outslug the devil. You're not going to out-criticize your critic. You're not going to out-hate your hater. You're not going to out-slander your slanderer. You're not going to out-fight your enemy. I mean, the only hope you got is to get somewhere where he can't come, and a fellow who's full of hate can't get in love. Get in love! And he can't get there. You stay on the good side. That these bodies washed up on the good side. They didn't see him from the other side. They saw him the good side. Someone wrongly accuses you, don't you accuse back. Somebody starts telling stuff about you, don't you start telling stuff about them. But you say, preacher, I tell you, you don't understand. They're telling some awful stuff about me. Doesn't matter. Don't you stoop to their level. Don't you do it. You won't win. You will only win when you keep... Look, God's got something for you to do. And God never tells you to spend your life going around defending yourself. God wants you to do what He called you to do. Stay on the wall! Nehemiah, stay on the wall! God's called you to build a wall! Sanballats and Tobias come with their barbs and all the other stuff they give. They're trying to get you down from the wall. Stay on the wall! You've got something to do. God's got a plan for you. God's got a will for you. Don't you come down off the wall Don't you come down to fight the cat when you can soar to the sky. Don't you fight. Okay, somebody hates you because of your stand. And at work, they hate you maybe because you stand for right. And boy, they absolutely give you all kinds of trouble. They hate you. Because, and by the way, you're right, they're wrong. But if you decide to use hatred against them, you join them in wrong. There's the third thing I want to say. Not only don't fight him on his own court, and don't fight him with his own weapons, but don't fight the wrong enemy. The enemy was not the Egyptian army. The Egyptian army the Egyptian army could not defeat the people of God if the people of God obeyed God. God had the plan and the victory already planned for them if they followed His plan. So their enemy was the temptation not to follow God's plan. The main enemy was not the Egyptian army. The Egyptian army could not touch them as long as they obeyed God. God had planned, He'd given Moses that rod, and God had planned for Moses to smite that Red Sea, and God had planned for the waters of the Red Sea to stand up and salute as the army came by, and God had planned for the east wind to come and dry the ground, and as they walk over on dry ground, and if they walked over and got on the other side, God had planned that the Egyptian army would be drowned and their dead carcasses would be swept over the other side so the Israelites could come and see their enemies dead. But all they had to do was obey the will of God. And obey the Word of God. Far too many preachers around the country are stopping to fight little piddling battles instead of doing the thing that God has called them to do. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives when I step down from this pulpit to run for governor of this state. It'll be a cold place in day in Hades when I step down to run for the office of Senate or Congressman. I won't do it. When I gave my life to preach the gospel over 40 years ago, I didn't give my life to sit in the halls of Congress. I gave my life to stand behind the pulpit. Stay on the firing line. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't stop to fight the Shimeites that throw rocks at you. There's a job to do. There's a race to run. There's a battle to fight. And God, the battle is the Lord. You just keep going forward. You do His will. Do what God says to do. Don't stop. Look forward. Go forward. I'm sure the Israelites had temptations to fight on the other side. I'm sure they looked back and saw the Egyptian armies coming, and I'm sure some of them said, as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather fight the Egyptian army than take a chance on that Red Sea. Your real enemy is the temptation to wrongly respond to your enemy. Your real enemy is hatred. Hatred can do to you what your enemy cannot do. Your real enemy is vengeance. Vengeance can do to you what your enemy cannot do. Your real enemy is temper. Temper can do to you what your enemy cannot do. Your real enemy is criticism. Criticism can do to you what your enemy cannot do. Your real enemy is discouragement. Discouragement can do to you what your enemy cannot do. Does the Bible say we're more than conquerors in Him that loved us or not? What I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, what you don't realize is that your enemy is the enemy of these Egyptians, of these Israelites. The big enemy was not the Egyptian army. God had already drawn up plans to take care of the Egyptian army. But God had no plans drawn up to take care of their hatred. And God had no plans drawn up to take care of their fighting back. And God had no plans drawn up to take care of their discouragement. God said, you just go forward and go where I say to go and take that rod and smite the Red Sea and go on forward. He said, I'll take care of that enemy if you can conquer the enemy of retaliation. Oh, the temptation. Temptation. I'm sure. See, what we want to do, we want to turn back in the middle of the Red Sea and go back over and clobber a few of them before we cross the sea. God didn't say go there for all the world and clobber. And say that. That's the devil's weapon. He's the clobberer. Of course, you want to do that. That's why we get more amens when I preach clobber than when I preach love. Yeah. I'm going to give some of you Howells Anderson fellows a doctor of clobber when you graduate. A D.C. degree. Or a D.K., whichever it is. Doctor of clobber. They stop and go back to clobber, they'll lose. They stop to go back to fight, they'll lose. They stop to go back to tell their side, they'll lose. There's a job to be done. There's a battle raging. Keep going forward. We're marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord and that our joys abound. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. The beautiful city of God. These people were not told to fight the Egyptians. They were told to go to the promised land. God said, anything gets in your way on the journey, I'll take care of you. Just keep on going forward. And by the way, everything that rose up against them all the way from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, what fell before them because God provided the victory as long as they kept going forward. And they got to Kadesh Barnea and sent out those 12 spies. Always a mistake to send out a committee. It'd be a wonderful day if all Baptist committees were dissolved. Somebody said a committee is a group of the unprepared, who are unqualified, who do the unnecessary, who read the minutes and waste the hours. Somebody else has said that a camel is a horse assembled by a Baptist committee. They formed a committee. And the committee went over and they said, we are the accrediting association. We have some checking to do. Well, let's see. Give me your height. Height, please. 9'8". Well, that's one negative point. Caleb, what is the average height of the Jew?
5'7". 5'7" versus 9'8".
And the committee came back. And they said to the Jews, good morning, grasshoppers. And the committee voted, like all committees do, not to go forward. Now listen, the only thing that ever defeated the Israelite people, the only thing that ever defeated them was when they quit going forward. As they marched toward the promised land through the wilderness, everything under the sun attacked them. Enemies came, but they went forward. Opposition came, they went forward. Hunger came, they went forward. Discouragement came, they went forward.
They only were defeated. They weren't defeated by the enemy. They were defeated by their own brakes when they stopped. They pushed the brakes, stopped going forward. As long as God's man said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? He said, go forward. Moses said, hey, folks, let's go forward. They said, we're coming. Here we come. They had troubles. I'm sorry, didn't have any losses. Enemies didn't defeat them because they went forward. You got a bus route? Somebody nipping at your heels, criticizing you? Keep on your bus route. Keep on building. You got a Sunday school class? Somebody nipping at you? Keep on building your Sunday school class. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. And don't reach back and grab the devil's weapon of hatred and hate him back. Don't reach back and grab the devil's weapon of anger and hate him and be mad back. Don't you do it.
Somebody came to my office this morning, one of the finest men in this church. Doing one of the finest works in this church in one of the most needed areas that like nobody else is doing. And he said, I'm getting a little criticism. I said, don't think about it. Some people in this room, sure, he's talking about, sort of shot at him a little bit. I said, look, that's what the devil wants you to do is stop. You keep on going. Harry Truman said, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that your enemy is the enemy. The enemy is that which makes you stop going forward and reach back and pick up the devil's weapons and fight the devil's crowd with the devil's weapons, but you're not going to out-devil the devil. Let me give you an example.
Somebody said, Brother Hiles, and you've heard me say this before, but I was out east, and somebody said, Brother Hiles, you have a coffee shop ministry in your church. I said, what's that? He said, that's when you get a room and paint it with psychedelic colors and let your young people grow their, young boys grow their hair long. And I'll be honest with you, to this day, I've never gotten used to permanence. Now, if you got one, I'm not mad at you, but don't come around me. If you're a male, I'm not mad at you. Just don't let me see it. Wear a hat when you come to see me. I mean, you little Shirley Temples, just don't do anything for me. I just don't do anything. There you go. I picked up the devil's weapon, used it, and you're hollering amen. I was just testing you, that's all. He said, and that you get a bunch of guitars and you get a bunch of rock music and put some religious words to it, and that way the people, the hippies come in and they'll hear it, and then you get the gospel to them. And then you can get them saved. I said, how many young people did you have last Sunday in your coffee shop? He said, 40. I said, we had more teenagers in the restrooms last Sunday morning than that. And I'm not bragging. I'm simply saying I'm not going to use the devil's methods through God's Word. I'm not going to do it. If I've got to strip our kids half naked and send them on a beach with bikinis on to win the folks on the beaches, we just won't do it. We just won't do it. I'm not going to use the devil's method to you do God's Word. God's method is right there. It's in the book. It's there. I get so sick and tired of these little substitutes for preachers. Imposters standing up criticizing personal soul winners. Criticizing personal soul winners. Let me tell you something, my brother. That's God's method for getting people saved. Publicly and house to house. Somebody, well, you run them off. They're already off, dummy. You can't run anybody where they already are. I'm going to chase you where you are. Oh, my soul. We don't need to borrow the devil's Bibles. Not there, but we don't need to borrow the devil's methods. We don't need to borrow the devil's weapons. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Well, let's stop and turn around and let them have one big punch. If you do, that water's going to come on you. Because the water's scheduled to... that sidewalk's scheduled to crumble in just when you get over there. And God's going to give you time to cross that Red Sea, and as soon as He gets across that Red Sea, God's going to baptize everybody in there permanently. Your only weapon, I want you to follow this and I'll be through. Your only weapon against the Egyptian army is not to fight him on his own court. You won't win. It's not to fight him with his own weapons. You won't win. It's not to fight him at all. He's not your real enemy. You won't win. Your only weapon is to die to self. Do you think those Jews expected the waters to part when they took off from the Red Sea? You think they said, well, God's going to part the Red Sea. Part. Just as I thought. Well, I'll guarantee you. Listen, suppose I said, we're going to go to Mackinac Island as a church. We're leaving now, going to walk all the way. We're not going to detour. We're going to go as the crow flies. We're going to walk as the crow flies. And I got out here to Lake Michigan. I said, folks, God's going to dry Lake Michigan here to Mackinac. Then not 1% of you folks would believe that. Now, the only thing that make you go toward Lake Michigan is that if a big army is right behind you, you're going to kill you. Personally, I'd rather drown and be stabbed to death. I think these Jews, every one of them, just about, I think they said, here goes nothing. They died. They died. They'd rather die obeying God than turn back. That's when you'll get victory over your sin. When you'd rather die than take a smoke. When you'd rather die than take a drink. When you'd rather die than be immoral. When you'd rather die than read something filthy. When you'd rather die than have your enemy slay you. You know, somewhere in between us and Japan is a good ground. I was in Japan. And I was there at the end of a school term. And do you know, while I was in Japan for a week, thousands and thousands of Japanese students committed suicide. Not because I was there for a week. But you know why they committed suicide? Doc, you know why. Because they failed in college, in high school. And failure, listen, failure to them is such a shock and a disgrace, they'd rather die than face it. Now let me tell you something. That's one reason why they're getting more production than we are right now. It's not enough for us to say, and I'll make somebody mad here, it's not enough for us to say, buy American. It's very, very interesting. It's very, very interesting. As long as we were shipping everything all over the world from America, we didn't mind folks buying foreign products. Now, I'm not saying, I'm patriotic, but I'm saying our problem, brother, is a laziness problem. I had a man tell me that runs a big factory. He said, we feel if we can get 4 hours work out of 8 hours men on the job, we feel we've done well. Well, no wonder the Japanese people, for them, they work 8 hours out of 8 hours, and they'd rather die than fail. Follow his leadership. Follow his leadership. Do what he says to. Use his method. Do what God has called you to do. The Word of God came, and they obeyed, and the victory was won. Ask your question tonight. You trying to fight the devil on the wrong side of the Red Sea? The bodies said that Israel saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians on the shore of the sea. If they saw them, they had to be on their side of the shore. And the only way they could ever see those dead bodies, they would never have seen those dead bodies if they fought the battle on the other side. And they would never have seen those dead bodies if they had used the weapons of the Egyptians to fight the Egyptians. The battle was the Lord's. And they would never have defeated the Egyptians if they had succumbed to their real enemy. And the real enemy is a wrong response to their visible enemy. I preached a sermon not long ago here on Sunday night on the subject, the only person that can defeat you is you. That's about what I'm saying tonight. We blamed everybody under the sun for our failure. It's time we looked in the mirror and saw the guy whose fault it is. I want to say this, and I'll close again. God has made every provision you need for the victory. He's made every provision. God has given you enough weapons to win the victory over your little Egyptian that's giving you trouble. You can win the victory over your liquor. You can win the victory over your impurity. You can win the victory over your temper. You can win the victory over your lust. You can win the victory over your anger. You can win the victory over your hatred. You can win the victory over your vengeance, but you're not going to do it grabbing the same weapon the enemy uses. Fighting against him. You can't out-devil the devil. I started to say something a while ago, and I lost my train of thought. train of thought. I finally found it, so I better say it in a hurry. Whatever it was. You're not going to out coffee shop the disco. There's no way we can compare the disco. No way. We're not going to build a better disco than the devil can. We haven't got the money. We're not going to out devil the devil. We're not going to say, we ought to take our churches and we ought to have dances for our young people. You're not going to outdance all the devil. He can't build a dance hall as nice as his. We can't afford it. What we better do, stick to the book. Stick to the book. I don't mean keep believing it. I mean keep obeying it. Do what it says. It says if the Egyptians chase you, keep going forward, obeying God, obeying God's word. Don't turn back. Don't fight them in their own court, home court. Don't use their weapons to fight them. You just keep on going forward. Now, most of you are young, which means under 60. But most of you are young. You haven't been to battle a long time. But I want to serve notice to you.